Hello and welcome to Rolling for Loot. I'm your host, Shakti.
And I'm your other host, Himotep, and this is episode 14. Today, we're going to be discussing our reaction to the recent WoW patch 5.0.4, the pre-mist of Pandaria patch.
Along with everybody else in Castland.
Who is out here podcasting.
And Himotep will be given his review of Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13.
Or the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Because I have not tried it on any other venue.
I don't imagine it would be much different other than doing it with a Kinect thing, you know. Actually swinging your arms and knocking over lamps in your living room.
Yes, don't punch friends in the head. It has that warning right at the start of the game.
Yes,
don't punch your heads into friends.
Don't
punch your... Wow, this school is strong.
Woo-hoo. Don't punch your heads in the friends. Okie dokie. This is good advice.
Words to live by. Truly, truly words to live by. So,
nicely done. So let's talk about 5.0.4.
All right.
Totally
so,
ignore that whole little bit.
Just jump right in. You don't need a lead in for that. You don't want me to...
You know what? I think if our listeners don't know about this patch by now, then they're probably listening to the wrong podcast.
Yeah, or they're not listening for the WoW part of the podcast.
If you're not listening for the WoW part, then you might want to skip ahead, probably.
They're waiting to hear about your achievements in Diablo 3.
Yeah, because I've been playing that all weekend. This is
move along.
Yes, this is why Himotep is referencing it. I finally unlocked the cow level.
The cow level. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, and I'm almost done nightmare mode.
There's no cow level. Now move along.
Anyway, back to pre-Miss of Pandaria patch.
Pre-Miss of Pandaria patch.
We have reaction.
4. Action.
We have reaction.
Love. Romance. What?
We have opinions on this patch, just like everybody else does. So let's actually talk about those.
And since this is our podcast, we're going to talk about our own opinions, not somebody else's.
This is a good thing. So I think the biggest change that everybody had to deal with, that everybody was complaining about, that everybody loves, that everybody hates, is the talent trees. What do you think?
I think the talent trees are... It's a love-hate thing. I have always had a bit of a, call it an aversion to the cookie-cutter builds that everybody's had to choose over the last, say 4 or 5 years now. Mm-hmm. I can clearly remember a time when a person was eligible, when a budding mage could have points spent in the fire tree and in the frost tree, and then, oh, what the heck, we'll throw something in the arcane tree just because they sounded cool. And then we went through that horrible phase where if you didn't have the exact same spec build as everybody else, you were considered an unfortunate outcast and ostracized by the rest of the WoW community on your particular server. Mm-hmm. And we've sort of come full circle because now we've got to a point where the talents seem to be more or less irrelevant.
Yeah.
For better or worse.
Yeah.
Irrelevant. I would like to qualify that because it's not irrelevant that they don't impact gameplay, because I think that they do, but they don't impact raid viability, they don't impact your PvP viability, they don't impact your performance. They are there to make you feel good about you.
Yes. Yes, I concur. I don't think that there's, and I'm trying to think of various specs that I've done, because I've only actually specced out, I think, 4 of my 1085s. I've only done actually 4. I know. I totally am. But anyway, I'm not thinking of any actual DPS increasing specs that I've chosen. There's a couple of the here and there that, yeah, it would certainly help in a lot of raid situations if I spec'd a certain way. But I agree. There's no more cookie cutter. If I don't choose that particular item, there's 2 other really great options that I can choose from.
I don't know that I would go so far as to emphatically declare that there are 2 other great options. I think what we have here is really 27 really mediocre choices rather than...
Well, there's some really
options.
Cool things. There's some really
there
cool
are
things.
Notable things. I have spent some time on the talent tree on many of my tunes. Not all of my 85s have had their off specs done yet, but they've all had their main spec done, and several of my more more seasoned tunes have their off specs done as well. And it just seems to me, it just feels like, you know, people are still going to gravitate to that concept of the cookie cutter. If tier one, if the first item on tier one is the best one, it has the coolest feature, then tanks are good. Because I play a tank mostly right now. So tanks are going to have it. The melee DPS is going to have it. And if it's usable, the healers are going to have it as a pally tank. If you're a druid and the first tier item, the first item of the three is a cool item, then that's the one everybody's going to take. And I think that, you know, this has eliminated the idea that I have to choose the second one in that tier because that's the one I need to get into the raids. That element is gone. So now you can choose an ability because it has a cool in-game effect. And most of the forums that deal with the theory crafting will tell you that of the 27 that there are going to be available, we got 24 right now because we don't have that seventh tier unlocked yet, but the abilities that are available right now, yeah, some of them add a little bit, but by and large, it's almost entirely fluffy bunny. Sorry, cosmetic. I didn't mean to offend any bunnies out there. And it's, to me, now that ties right in with the glyphs as well, because I really think that I hate the word nerfed because I think that it gets terribly overused, but they nerfed the glyphs.
Yeah, well, the glyphs are a totally different story, in my opinion.
I think the glyphs are the other side to that same coin. The cookie cutterness of playing, for example, I'm a paladin tank, and there are 10 other paladin tanks in a row. What separates us? If we are all equal quality tanks, if we're all at the top of our game and having a great run, what separates us? It's the transmog. It's the pet that's following behind us. It's the choice of macroed battle cry that we have before we launch at the boss. And it's the choice of colors that we have that pop off from the spell effects that have changed because of our glyphs. And really, that's all that's different now. Mm-hmm. The glyphs, the transmog, the oversimplified and productively irrelevant talent tree, I think all combine to give you an opportunity to customize your character without diminishing your playability, without diminishing your viability in the game. So they've basically just said, you know what, have fun, look how you want to look, give all the special effects that you want to give, and you can still keep your spot as your main healer or your main tank or your ranged cannon or whatever you want to be.
I think they've really made the talent trees more of a style of play thing. I'm finding myself, I have 285 mages, and I've spec'd them both differently just to see what I like better and all that sort of thing. And I'm finding that on one of them, I've spec'd totally wrong for my play style. I mean, I've chosen things like Presence of Mind instead of Scorch, which I prefer Scorch because I don't want to have to worry about stopping to think, oh, wait, I should cast this Presence of Mind to get an instant cast spell, and then I'm still stuck standing there casting the next spell instead of moving and casting as I go, which is how I like to play. But that sort of thing, it seems to be more of a... this is the way I like to play my character, and so I'm going to choose the talents that suit that play style, rather than this is the most damage that I'm going to be able to do when I encounter this boss.
But that's what I'm saying, is the talents aren't impacting the damage.
Yeah.
Your DPS output is pretty much across the board.
Mm-hmm.
If you were comfortable playing Frost, and you were comfortable playing Arcane, and you were comfortable playing Fire, and you put all three builds together, you can mix and match your talents back any old way you like, and the 40 or 50 point difference you're going to see in your DPS across a 10-minute fight is really all you're going to see in the difference.
Yeah, it comes down to the spells you're actually going to use.
That's right,
now.
And whether you use them or not does not impact your performance.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. You will choose the ones that complement your play style. You're absolutely correct. I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. But making those choices or choosing to to go with something like presence of mind as an arcane mage is a necessary item, mm-hmm. but no longer. You don't need it. You can take Scorch as an arcane mage.
Yeah.
I could take Scorch as a frost mage. That's what it's taken those elements and said, you know what? Anybody can do this. Anybody can do this other one. Over the next 6 months, are we going to see the top raiding guilds, the top raiders, say that this is how you should pick it in order to maximize your numbers? We absolutely are. But right now, at level 85 maximum, what we're seeing is that the numbers haven't changed. If
yeah.
you were deep fire and glyphed for fire and spec for fire and you had all the bells and whistles for fire, your DPS was X.
Yeah.
Now your DPS is X. And whether you choose all of the first column of your tier talents or all the middle column or randomly, whatever ones you pick, or you choose the ones, as you said, that mm-hmm. complement your play style, you're still doing X damage.
Yeah.
Where X is the modifier that's been applied to everybody because
yeah.
everybody's damage has changed
it a has.
Little bit.
It has, up or down, depending on your class.
Depending on whether you like the changes. Do not like the changes that have been done, then your class has been broken and you can't do any DPS.
Some of the changes have been interesting. Mage, I love everything that they have changed on the mage. Of course, I'm speaking from the fire standpoint because I finally have control over my damage numbers. It's fantastic. I absolutely love it. Everything that was wrong with fire is no longer wrong with fire, and my numbers have increased significantly.
You shouldn't have said anything out loud, because now Blizz is going to nerf it.
Yeah, they totally are. They yeah. totally are. I knew that within the first hour of playing my mage. This is far too good. There's a nerf coming.
Yeah. They can't let me have this much fun.
I am doing
honestly,
way too much damage.
I gotta tell ya. She was out there and giggling again like a brand new 80 back in Wrath. It was, you know, you hit that 215,000 pyro crit, poof, and you go, oh, ooh, that was fun. And then you just keep standing there doing it again and again.
So. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. I absolutely love what they did to fire. Now, transfer over to my shaman, and I went, wait, they took away my totems. What yeah. do I do?
Yeah, yeah.
The shaman, I mean, it's one of those things I have to remember, and I know that I'm sure our listeners have reminded themselves of the same thing. This is a level 90 talent tree. This is level 90 spells that we're going to be playing at 85. We're not at the...
going to get one or possibly two.
But you know what?
They're
still going to change. They may change the dynamic of how we play it. And we have those five levels.
They took away totems. That's like taking away the shield from a paladin. It really is. Like, I just feel like that was one of the things that made the shaman unique. The shaman caster drops his four totems, and now, ooh, beware, that's a shaman. You run up to the boss, you drop your four totems, the boss goes, ooh, beware, that's a shaman. In the old vanilla game, right, you'd see that the Six Alliance would see that shaman coming, and it'd go, whoa. Beware. Right? And they'd pummel him and finally kill him, and then he'd reincarnate.
Oh, can kill them all. Yeah.
Right. That was the optimal, epic awesomeness of the shaman. And they took that away. For 7-8 years now, we've had totems.
Well, I'm not really the
totems and connected to our totems and hunting for water sap that he gets the damn water totem. No. And now it's all gone. It doesn't exist anymore. No.
Yeah, that's.
This is a huge misstep by Blizzard, in my opinion, in terms of the feel of the game. Yes, at the end of the day, my shaman is doing the same DPS that he was doing before. It's awkward and clumsy for me because I've had to almost completely relearn how I'm doing my damage. But once it started to click, my numbers came back, and oh, look at that, I'm still doing the big numbers that I was.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like a shaman anymore. I feel like a mail wearing rogue or a warrior who's been trimmed down somehow.
Yeah,
The uniqueness is gone. We had one of our raiders, I think last week or possibly the week before, who was actually commenting to the contrary, was saying that suddenly all the classes feel unique again. I didn't say anything in the raid at the time because we were really just about to get into a boss fight, but it just occurred to me since then, I've heard that thought again in my head, and I have to disagree. I just think that more than ever, the characters all sort of feel the same. I mean, I have seen and run a warlock with no pet, no demon summoned. So really, isn't that just a fire mage? Really? I mean, to a person who had never played World of Warcraft watching over your shoulder, what would distinguish your warlock or my warlock from your mage? Nothing. We're dressed in the same
purple
gear.
Purple spells versus orange spells.
There are orange spells on the Destro.
But a Destro isn't going to be running without a demon.
I don't run with a demon. I sack my demon to get the 25% damage buff.
On Destro?
Yes. On any spec. That's the whole beauty of it. You don't really need your demon, and I'd rather have that passive buff and the control over the ability.
Is that a talent?
That's the Grimoire of whatever it's called.
Oh, well, see, I took the other one for a better demon.
But see, that's demonology. If I was taking demonology, then I'd want to buff the demon. That's what you're getting. If your affliction or destruction, your demon is just, that's something else that you have running that you have to keep track.
Well, we're going to have to pair off Destros and see who does better damage with or without the demon. Let's go.
I think I posted you my numbers.
No, I don't think
Destro
you
against Destro?
Yeah.
With and without the demon?
They both run the same raid.
They will probably pack out about the same. That's the point. Now there's no difference. Right?
Yeah. I was surprised. Well, going back to the shaman with the totems, it seems like it's being treated more like, because you jumped ahead. This is why I'm jumping back. Closing back brackets.
Bracket.
Yes. Going back to the shaman, I feel like the totems are more like a cooldown that Blizzard has given us rather than something to use for every fight. That being said, I'm still using my elemental every attempt at a boss, and I'm using that flame totem the same as I normally would have, but I no longer have any of the other totems available, and there's no use for me that I'm seeing for any of those other totems. I have one that increases the raid damage for 10 seconds. It's just an extra cooldown that I don't remember to use.
That I'm not interested in tracking because everybody else has something else that they're using that's easier to keep track of, that has a longer duration, or doesn't diminish my ability to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how you slice and dice it, the shaman is not a shaman anymore. He's a mail-wearing rogue. They're a combat rogue. Yeah, the
for a melee shaman, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a healer shaman. And
it's,
I can transmog myself to look like a druid. And coming up in mist, druids won't even look like anything but trolls. So I have a troll shaman standing beside a troll druid, and they look the same. And again, to a non-player, somebody who is not familiar with, that spell effect is healing bloom. Oh, that spell is healing rain. Oh, then that's a shaman and that's a druid. Somebody looking over your shoulder who didn't know the game would not know they were two entirely different classes.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saddened about. Yes, I realize that the game is really in its twilight years. We're looking at this is the seniors as far as computer video games are. And they're really running out of ways to keep the existing player base entertained and still attract new players. I understand that, and it's a business. I understand that, but really, to make one homogenized game, why not just make four classes and that's it? They did it with Diablo.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And well, they certainly evened out all the classes. We're all posting similar numbers now in the raid, no matter what your spec is.
Yep. And I. Like I said, I understand, that is to say that I recognize intellectually the difficulty, because I can't do it myself, but I recognize the difficulty that they must face when you're looking at introducing not only five more levels to a game that's already way top-heavy now,
mm-hmm.
but then they have to keep it lively, interesting, they got to make up new spell effects and new animations to go with all the new spells that they've got. And then on top of that, they still have to make new dungeons and new raids and new encounters and new quests and new worlds. Got it. I figure all that out and I understand that. Why do we have to streamline the way the characters are? My thinking is they're squeezing everything together to highlight the difference between the existing races and the Pandaren, which are coming out. So that when it does come out, everybody is so sick and tired of playing the same cookie cutter classes for the last month. And have been looking forward to these pandas for 6 months or more, they're all going to jump on these new Pandarens. So we're going to see, like we did with Burning Crusade, like we did with Wrath. Burning Crusade, 4 out of 5 players were playing the new race for their faction. Wrath, everybody was playing Death Knights. Everybody was playing Goblins at the start of far more Goblins than there were Worgen, I have to say. At the start of
Cat. Have you tried the Worgen Start Zone? Yeah, I'm sorry, Alliance. Worgen, but
it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, it really is.
The Worgens look at the break into a bank.
No, they don't. Saying. Or okay. Run over everybody.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. You want to roll a goblin.
We're going to have to. You know what we're going to do is an episode of Start Zones.
Yeah, sure.
We should do an episode of Start Zones. That's a good idea.
Let's write that down so we don't forget.
I'm writing, scratching.
You are not. You're such a liar.
I am. See?
No, you're not.
Anyways, fine. Okay. I don't know if Michael picked that up or not.
I'm pretty sure he did. Clicking of a pen.
Thumbing the back of the pen. Anyways, I really don't think that the character classes are all that different. And not only are the character classes not different from each other, but other than the fundamental role that a character may play, obviously a healer is different from a DPS, and they're both different from a tank. But when you're watching, for example, a hunter in your raid, just observing him, you can't tell whether he's a BM hunter or a survival hunter or a marksman hunter unless he goes Big Red Kitty. I mean, I'm not even sure Big Red Kitty's still in the game. So
I couldn't before, in all honesty. Unless he had a cool pet out, that's the only difference.
I could tell by the animations on the spell shots.
Yeah, we'll see. I wasn't that good.
And the effect, and also the type of pet they have.
Yeah. Can they silence? No, he's survival. That was the thing, yeah.
Now they're all.
Everybody can silence.
Everybody can do it, you know. And everybody can fire fireworks into the air with their trap launchers, and you keep your trap launcher on.
Oh, that's crazy. Everybody. That throws me off.
I had adapting to that, dude.
Holy crow. I'm like clicking it twice.
Click it, and I want to drop it. Yeah, and I'm like, where is it? It's way over there by where my mouse was.
Wait, that's not going to slow anybody down.
I will say, though, it was entertaining because I wasn't in a guild raid or anything. I was just goofing around up there skinning.
Well, I was on the freaking ship trying to slow down those, whatchamacallit?
Sappers.
The sappers trying to drop my frost totem. I'm going, where's my totem? My trap.
Back to the shaman. There we go.
Yeah, and
it's always about the shaman. Now the shaman looks like a hunter.
Yeah. Anyway, I couldn't figure out where my traps were going because I couldn't find them all. I was double-clicking on my trap thingies and couldn't find it. And anyway, it threw me off. It was not a cool thing.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
It wasn't an announced thing. I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because we were only limited to copying 5 to the beta, I didn't copy my hunter.
Yeah, I didn't even bother with it. It's one of those tunes I enjoy playing.
He's a tune I love to play. I just don't get to play as often as I would like. And he's not one of the ones that I'm really great at.
Yeah, exactly.
He's one of my weakest links.
Here's the one thing I was upset about with the Hunter. Of all the changes that they did, and they didn't do a whole lot of changes to the Hunter, I found, with my rotation and all that. I mean, I'm pretty exactly.
No, I think it's pretty much the same.
The one thing I didn't like was the fact that they took away our freaking staffs.
Because of your...
Yeah, because I finally got my best in slot the week before the patch dropped, and then I spent the rest of that week looking for the transmog for that staff because I hate the enchant on the staff because it looked nasty with my gear set because I was all totally black. I'm a black cow, and I have black gear and a black cat, and I'm totally black, and then I have a green friggin' enchanted staff, and it looked nasty. So I did all this grinding to get the transmog staff, and they took it away. And now I have a really fantastic staff in my bags that I'm not about to let go.
That you're probably never going to get to see.
Never going to see. And it looks fantastic with my gear set.
We could bring it back. We could start doing machinima for our viewers, listeners.
I'll pretend I'm a druid or something.
Oh, yeah. Camouflage. There you go. Stealth ninja.
You'll never see a big black cow coming.
That's right. That's true. That's true. Because, I mean, if you did, you'd go, hey, look, there's a big black cow. And then they hit you with a stick.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Exactly.
Move along. okay. So we're going to get past the mage. We're going to get past the shaman. We're going to get past the talent tree. Fundamental changes to tanking and healing. And I suppose to a lesser extent, although I haven't spent as much time on my glass cannon as I would like to have spent over the last few weeks, mana issues.
Gone.
I have not been on a tune, on any tune, on any build, where I have had mana problems.
Yeah, I don't think I've broken 90k, gone less than 90k. And that's including Deathwing, which is the one fight where I've constantly run out of mana, gone down to, like, right down to zero on mana, and no issues, none at all.
One of the challenges I have in my healer builds is because as I'm figuring out how the healer rotation works.
Sorry, I should add, that's on DPS, because I don't heal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't heal. You can friggin' die.
Much. You don't want me to heal.
You don't want
me. Wouldn't like me if I healed.
No, she doesn't turn into a great big green. Never mind. She does have purple pants. Never mind. So. One of the big challenges I had healing in I have three heal tunes, Druid, Shaman, and Holy Priest. And one of the biggest challenges I've had on all three previously has always been mana issues. I just seem to be doing the wrong spells at the wrong time, and I'm going out of mana 4 minutes into an 8 minute fight, and then I'm pretty much just whacking the boss with a stick for the rest of the fight. Well, you know.
I was just laughing at the whacking the boss.
So. The whacking the boss with a stick.
Yeah.
Hey, you!
We'll not be that lucky.
Yeah, you shall not. Thwack! Anyways, so with this last run through, I've been running through. First of all, I don't think I went below 94% on my druid at any point, at any time, during any fight, on any point in Dragon Soul. 94%. And I don't think I was spending more than a full second not casting something. So that was pretty epic. My shaman, I will say that I would use up about half my mana pool on my shaman, which tells me that I'm doing it wrong.
Maybe.
Well, I'm watching some of these other shaman healers, and they're not going. You know what? Now that I think about it, the Altraxian fight was really the only one where I really went deep into my mana pool. And that was, again, because you're spamming AoE heals. And I don't really believe that the shaman is the best tune to be spamming AoE heals. Having said that, in all other aspects of my shaman and in every aspect with my druid and my priest, I was so delighted. I love healing on the Holy Priest. He's my worst geared tune, but he's one of my oldest tunes, and I really enjoy healing on him. But the mana issues I was having were just horrid, and they are poof gone. They don't exist. I really feel like that is a major difference. And I haven't played. I've played my Warlock. I've never had that much problem with mana. On my Warlock, because I would always life tap, and they took away life tap. So now
there's something similar now.
Not on Death
Triple. I forget what it's called.
It's a passive ability.
No, there's an ability that you can cast. It does a similar thing to life tap, and I forget what it's called. And I'll have to look it up now. I'll do that while you talk about tanking and healing.
Okay, so the differences with tanking right now is because of the changes made to diminishing returns. Okay, theory crafting and numbers to follow.
Ooh,
don't tune out.
Boy. Too late. I already have.
You said the magic word, numbers. Anyways.
Too long, didn't read.
Yeah. L-O-L, smiley face. Unhappy face, because you tuned out.
Yeah.
With the changes to the diminishing returns, we've had to totally rescale our defensive stats, our parry and our dodge. And now most of the theory crafting expert boards are saying that you should have between 2 and 2.5 times parry, 2.5 times more parry than dodge, and that for most builds, in most circumstances, you want more dodge and parry than you previously had mastery. I haven't completely come over to the dark side with that one yet, but some recent runs on my main tank, Pally Tank, have really demonstrated to me that I'm no longer doing it correctly. And while my survivability is still ridiculous, I'm really, really, really efforting first of all, to get and hold aggro on groups, which, as you can imagine, as a pally tank, I just can't wrap my brain around. I just, AoE tanking, that's what the pally was for, was AoE tanking. And now I'm having challenges with some of the threat. And I don't believe that it is because of the changes to the DPS meters or the damage output. I don't see those things that are different. What I see is me having to fudge around with my rotation now, such as it is as a tank. Doesn't really have a rotation, but fudging around with what I have to do to get the same effect that I was getting before.
I'm hearing a lot of tanks complaining about the pets seem to be taunting an awful lot. Is it just that, do you think that the pets are generating more threat? And hearing similarly the Warlocks and Hunters saying there's no taunt on, so, you know, is it a tanking issue or is it a pet issue?
My Warlock, before I started sacking my pet to increase my overall DPS, I would turn my taunt off. So my pets that actually have a taunt, I would turn it off. Not all the pets have a taunt because they don't taunt. There was some talk, I don't recall which board it was on, but there was something to do. It was one of the forums, anyways, for the for Blizzard, where there was a comment, no blue post, a comment was being made that there was something in the mechanic, in the way that the numbers were crunching for pets, that the threat that they were generating was far and above what it was supposed to be, and that it was going to be hot patched sometime before Mist. And it had to do with the way that the numbers are changed, with the way that the focus that your pets use. Previously, your growl was like a focus dump for your pet. And so anytime you had too much focus or anytime you reached a certain point on your pet would growl. On a 6-second cooldown, as soon as it's up, they would growl. Well, as I understand it, and I haven't really looked into it because it hasn't been a problem for me either as a Warlock, a Hunter, or a Tank, but it's something I'm looking into just in case it is broken, that there's no global cooldown right now. So the pet, every time he goes above 50, he's taunting. So there's no 6-second break in there. So at the start of a fight, you've got these pets, and if you've got a cat or a bear or, you know, one of those melee pets that comes up there, they're generating enormous amounts of threat that are not mitigated by a global cooldown. That's the basic theory behind why the pets are generating so much threat. Right. And it's one of those things where they forgot to put a comma in one of the formulas, and they're going to hotfix it because, you know, that's what their issue is. If it's not in fact that, but if it is in fact what I, in my personal experience, have experienced, that suddenly I have to work as a tank again, it's not gimme threat the way that it was. Excuse me. Even 6 months ago, they buffed threat to 5 times normal, so that all I have to do is sneeze in the general direction of a boss, and I have aggro. Apparently, they've squashed that, because I have to really work to get and hold aggro. This is very much like it was tanking back in Vanilla and Burning Crusade. I clearly remember running into mob pulls in Karazhan and having to tell everybody, give me a second, even against undead as a pally tank. When you have to tell your crew, hey, give me a second, that's because you need to do what you need, and you have to fight your global cooldowns to get that threat out there. And I think that it feels that way. Some of the mechanics in the rotation and some of the mechanics in the fight feel that way. If it smells like bread and it tastes like bread, then it's probably bread.
It's interesting because I don't remember which patch it was, but at some point halfway through Cataclysm, they released a patch that all of a sudden tanks didn't have to worry about hit, and the threat issue seemed to be gone. You could pretty much just sneeze and have threat on the entire room.
4.2.
I'm curious why it would be they would go the opposite direction now. I don't know. Or maybe they're going halfway. Kind of, they went, oh, we went too far.
I think that it may be a reflex, that sort of knee jerk where they went too far the first time and now they're kind of swinging back the other way too far. But I don't feel like it's that way. After reading the numbers and the way that they've simplified the fight mechanics for diminishing returns has changed. And I think that as the gearing and the itemization comes out with Mist, I think we're going to start seeing a little bit more separation in the classes, and you're going to start seeing back to the way that it used to be, where certain types of tanks are better for certain situations. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get to the point where they're so specialized that you're going to have people switching specs mid-raid. You know, I'll tank this one and DPS the next one so you can tank the next one, and et cetera. But I think that we're going to start looking at when raid leaders are building their raids, they're going to start considering the fight mechanics and saying, okay, I need a good AoE tank for this raid, and I need a good single target tank for the off tank, or I need the main tank to be a good single target tank, and I need the off tank to be a good AoE tank. I think that we're heading towards that. And the way that they've simplified combat by combining statistics, expertise now counts as hit for casters. So we've seen a simplification of...
which is like, woohoo!
Which I know some people have a real brain fart with. They have a hard time going, what, expertise? But yeah. I'm a caster. What do I need expertise for? But it's just a label. They could have called it purple. And then I need more purple in order to hit the boss.
That would be lovely. Please, Blizzard, call it purple.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have a guild where we have raid groups that are colors instead of anything else. It's purple, green.
Expertise.
Blue. It's expertise, the term. And what it does, how it affects combat has been sort of smoothed over regardless of what class you're at. The numbers make a little more sense now. The overall hit requirement is easier for all the classes to achieve now.
Yeah, it's at 15%.
15 instead of 17, but now expertise counts as hit.
Yeah.
So when you're a melee class and you need 7.5% hit and 7.5% expertise, that gives you, as a caster melee, so if you're a shaman, then that gives you your 15% spell hit, which is what they were talking about before. So it really, the actual numbers have changed a little bit. But the overall effect at the end of the day, they can call it what they like, it's still basically getting the same numbers. How that affects tanking, however, is that most of the tanks, particularly the end game tanks, have almost no hit and almost no expertise. We haven't needed it, so we've been putting those points into other mitigation and survivability stats. So we've been stacking stam and dodge, parry, and mastery, and we've been getting rid of crit and hit and expertise, and for most of us, haste as well. Now they're saying, no, because of the way that the table dynamics are working, and this is why I really think that we're getting back to that model where, you know what, some tanks have an easier time of generating AoE threat, but the numbers aren't as big as they would be on a single target, where some tanks are going to be able to get huge, big numbers, but only on one target at a time. And I think that with the expertise and the hit now, again, a lot of these numbers and a lot of the websites that are talking about these numbers and these reforges and everything are basing this on the level 90 model. So like you were saying with the talents and the spells and everything else, we're sort of guessing how this is going to impact. Your hit rating right now in order to get your 15% is, I think, 763 or something, and it's projected to be at 2250 in order to get hit at level 90, which is a huge jump. None of the gear that we have right now, even end-game heroic gear, even gets you close to that. Mm-hmm. But it's not only going to be achievable, but everybody's going to be able to achieve it because now you have two different ways to get to that same number. And I think that that fixes some of the problems with gear itemization as well. We've taken, we have a lot of similarities between a lot of the classes so that utility that one class brings is gone. It's totally been erased from the game. Arcane Brilliance isn't even the only one that does what it does anymore because it doesn't give you an intellect buff. It just buffs your spell power and buffs your intellect by a percentage.
And it gives you critical strike now, I think. A 5% critical strike buff.
Is it 5% crit buff too?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the Warlock Dark Intent
is the same thing. Same it's just thing. Spell power.
It but actually replaces. They can't be bonded.
Yeah, they can. I was playing with that the other day.
But you're not getting a stack because the Arcane Brilliance gives you the 5% crit.
Yeah.
And then the Dark Intent gives you the 10%.
Gives you another 5%. But the Dark Intent cannot be cast on, if you just cast it generally without casting it on anybody else, a mage will come along and cast Arcane Brilliance, and it cancels out your Dark Intent. So you need to cast it on another person
to get the 5%.
To get the extra 5%. Now, the one thing I was noticing was that every time Arcane Brilliance is refreshed by a mage that loves to cast it after every boss fight, because people die, you need to make sure that you're casting your Dark Intent again on another person. Doesn't matter who, pick anybody, so that the raid-wide buff appears and everybody gets that extra 5%. It's kind of weird that they're doing that way, and I certainly hope they fix it. Because I certainly don't remember to cast it on another person, but I was experimenting in the raid.
I always cast it on a different person, because prior to this 5.0,
well, yeah, because
you had to cast it on somebody else.
Exactly.
And it was only a 30-minute buff. It only buffed you and the person you targeted.
Yeah. I like it the way it is now, but I don't like that. I have to make sure to cast it on another person so that
Mark of the Wild, Blessing of Kings.
Yeah.
It's just another option to get that
buff
into
the group. Why is it stacking half the time and not, you know what I mean? Like,
I've never seen it stack at the same time. And when the ability that stacks, you get your 10% intellect buff once. That's
it. The critical strike, yeah. It's not intellect anymore. It's critical strike, not intellect.
10%.
Critical strike.
Okay, well, I'm going to look that up because...
Okay, so while we're talking about looking it up, Ember Tap is the one spell that...
Tap gets life back.
It gives you back 15% of your life. Yes.
Yeah, that's not mana tap.
Spirit tap, yeah. Well, it's close. Whatever. It doesn't give you your mana. You don't need your mana back now, right?
Yes, you do. I run out of mana more often on my Warlock than I have on any other caster class. That's the one that I have the mana issue on right now.
All right, well, there's like all kinds of defensive cooldowns you can use on your Warlock now that gives you your life back, bubbles and all kinds of stuff.
I have no way to convert life to mana, so getting my life back is useless if I can't turn that life into mana. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Previously, I had full control over my mana pool and my life pool because I could convert mana to life and I could convert life to mana.
Yeah,
I cannot do it both ways anymore.
I don't have any issues with mana whatsoever.
None. Yeah, but you're a demo. Most of your damage comes from your pet and from augmenting your pet.
Destro.
Well, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, maybe I am. Not running out of mana. Who knew that was doing it wrong?
You're not casting enough spells, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, so back to tanking and healing. Are we done with that one?
The tanking is the big thing. I personally don't see that it's okay, so I'm going to read this to you. Arcane Brilliance infuses the target with brilliance, increasing their spell power by 10% and their crit strike by 5% for 1 hour.
Yes, and Dark Intent does another crit by 5%.
Right, but the 10% spell power doesn't stack.
No, because it's the only one that does it. Dark Intent is
said Dark Intent
strike.
Also did the same thing. That was what I thought you had said.
Okay, I may have misspoke. Look it up, quick! As we're typing furiously to Wowhead.
Infuses all party and raid members with shadow, increasing their spell power by 10%.
And it does nothing to critical strike?
Nothing else to crit.
All right.
Crit strike
My bad, then.
From the Arcane Brilliance.
My bad, then.
And if it's cast after the Arcane Brilliance spell power, it will negate the Arcane Brilliance spell power buff, but you'll still get the crit buff.
Oh, and that's why
I cast the Dark Intent first, and then the Arcane Brilliance is cast. It negates the Dark Intent completely.
So really, you'll want a mage in the party instead of the Warlock. So,
well, it gives you that second option, but there's other sources of that 5% crit bonus that also don't stack.
Yeah.
So, like I said, most of these changes are really geared towards making it easier to get the maximum amount of buffage, the maximum amount of versatility in the group without having to say, oh, I'm sorry, you can't come tonight because we're already full of that particular class.
Although the Warlock will always have the invite because the group summon's gone now. So.
Yeah, so your Warlocks are pretty much guaranteed raid spots now. And a mage, because then everybody gets a port out at the end. So, but anyways, I think that... we got a little far afield there, but the example is still a valid one. They have changed a lot of the fundamental uniqueness of these classes, and they have made it so that doesn't matter which clothy shows up, everybody's going to get this kind of a benefit from it. Mm-hmm. I noticed on my shaman that what I used to get as a buff from my totems,
mastery.
I now have. I have a master. I had a mastery buff. Mm-hmm. I had a fire totem buff, the spell mm-hmm. Spell haste buff, yeah. And I had, and that was going to the other members of the party.
Yeah.
There was three buffs, anyways, that I was getting.
Yeah. Now you're only getting the mastery one, right?
No, you're not listening. Yesterday.
Oh.
I was getting three buffs.
Yesterday. Okay,
I just said that they've taken away the totems, and now the buffs that I used to get from the totems are now passive buffs that
that's
I just have.
Bad. That's not bad.
Well, that's what I said. Once I figured out how I was still able to get all the same things, not having the totems, they became situational, and now they're more just like a spell. I think you were saying that earlier, that they're now just
more
another
like
cooldown that you'll monitor in the circumstances where they warrant it. If I'm playing my melee shaman, if I'm playing my melee shaman, for those out there that caught me on that one, then I can pull five or six mobs and I can drop my AoE totem that stands there and pulses for 60 seconds. And if I take the talent that allows me to relocate them, I can relocate the same one without having to worry about the cooldown. So I can move forward through groups of mobs and have the same totem down for the entire fight, for the fight sequences.
Yeah.
So, again, it's not so much that they've completely taken out the abilities that you used to have.
They just adjusted it. I realize that.
They just changed the way that it worked. When they make major changes, usually following a new race or a new class, they make major changes. They've done it before. If it carries on to another X-Pack, they'll do it again. So there we are.
Yeah. Yeah, I just didn't like that I could drop all my totems, and half of them only last for like 10 seconds or 20 seconds. And I was like, what?
The one that
raised my 5-minute totems.
My 7-minute totems when I was in my resto spec, I was 7-minute totems. I'm like, come on, that's awesome. I can drop them at the start of the fight and I don't have to refresh them? Awesome sauce. But, they've done away with that.
Yeah.
Like I said, the utility is still there. The capabilities are the same. You just have to get past the mindset. And I think that for me personally, and I think this is probably true for a lot of other people, we don't want to let go of that idea that it was fine the way it was. Why'd you change it?
Change is bad.
It wasn't broken. Don't fix it. While I agree with that statement most of the time, and believe me, listeners, I really do, the end state is once you adapt that new paradigm and you can say to yourself, all right, instead of focusing on what's different and how it doesn't do what I want, let's focus on how it's the same and how it can do what I want. And for those of you longtime players of one class or longtime players of one type of class or one type of role, it might be time to crack out a few of these forums that are out there, Icy Veins and Tank Spot, and help me out here, Shakti. What's another big one? I can't think of any more off the top of my head.
I don't know. I went straight to Icy Veins.
Icy Veins. I've seen the new look of Icy Veins.
I kind of glanced a bit at it. I was reading the content more than anything else.
No.
I was able to find what I was looking for.
Easy. That's what I'm getting at. Like, a year ago, I think we reviewed that one early on, episode 1 or 2, we reviewed and said, this is a great place if you can get through it. I can't recommend enough now, Icy Veins, icy-veins.com. It'll be in the thing there. You'll be able to go and find what you're looking for. Easy to read. They link their references. They explain why you should do it a certain way and offer alternatives where that's possible. It's awesome. It's a great resource.
They really equipped themselves there. So good job, Icy Veins. Okay.
Good job, Icy Veins. I want to make a mention of epic awesomeness. Auto loot plus AoE loot equals epic awesomeness.
Yes, AoE loot. Wow.
Wow. How did we ever survive without it?
I know.
For this long?
I know. Oh, my God. It's so awesome. So wonderful. We went and ran Molten Core earlier this week, grinding some rep. And we could literally pull the room, kill the room, loot once.
And loot the room.
And angels were heard.
Faster to loot the room than it was to pull it and kill everything.
Oh, Gilmore have to sort through every little piece of junk, just pick it up and go.
Pick it up and go, and then you spend more time throwing the grays out after you've looted everything that you will. I love that.
Pick
I love
up
that.
The grays now. I don't care.
Well, if you happen to be fortunate enough to be in a guild that allows you to have the guild pet.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the herald. You summon the herald, or you run back outside and you summon your little...
Drop it afterwards and doesn't matter.
You know, or you drop it. I like to sell those things. I hate dropping them. I hate, because I see that money and I go,
trash.
Goodbye, money. But I have paid for epic flight from trash.
I mean, the other day, and I finally found my fantastic cloth grinding spot.
Yes, don't tell anyone.
2 weeks before the expansion? No, I'll tell you. It's in Twilight Highlands, where those ogres are fighting the Horden Alliance after you've completed the zone. You go down there where they're fighting on the base of Bastion of Twilight. It's a great grinding spot for cloth. Anyway, you go down there and you kill, like, 8 ogres and pick up 25 cloth in one loot. It's awesome. It's fantastic.
A little caveat for our listeners. She's doing this on a max level tailor.
Yes.
With the talents built into tailoring that gives you bonus chance, and she's in a guild that when you get loot, you get bonus loot.
Yeah, we're a max level.
Max level guild with max level tune with max level tailoring. If you go down there with a level 80 hunter in a level 2 guild, you are not going to get the same drops.
You're not going to be able to kill them as fast as I can kill them either.
That's totally irrelevant.
Because you have to have been able to clear Twilight Islands first, because it is a zoned, not a zoned, what's the...
Phased.
It's a phased zone, so...
But
you
they're
do
still there,
to
you can still
it.
Kill them, even if you haven't finished the zone.
Yeah, but it's not nearly as easy. Anyway.
Oh, it's quite easy, they just don't drop as much. That's what I'm saying. I went down there... I checked it out because I can use a lot of cloth, and my cloth drops were the same as just about anywhere else. I get more cloth in dungeons than I do grinding for it. I was not grinding it on my tailor.
Yeah.
I was not grinding it on a tune that's in a max level guild.
Yeah. Well, I was grinding it, and I got 60 bolts per hour averaging.
Yeah, bolts. Bolts, people. Bolts. 300 pieces of cloth.
Per hour, so that was pretty freaking awesome. I loved it.
And like I said, I was down there, and I didn't get anywhere near, I didn't even get three
sticks
of cloth in 25 minutes.
Anyway, it was just fantastic. My point of this whole story was not that this was a sweet spot for cloth, which I'm sure auction cloth sellers everywhere have already known about this for the last 2 years.
And more now that you spilled the beans.
Yeah, well, you know, for the other six.
Hey, that's what we're here for. Podcast. We're here to help our listeners.
Yeah, but anyway, my point was that I would go in, I would do a few spells, kill everything, and loot everything in one click, and it was awesome, and it was enjoyable, and I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Now,
looting makes me happy.
Speaking of loot,
yes.
Let's talk about raid loot, because they've changed that as well. The raid finder.
And...
And, yeah, master looting as well is different. Raid finder.
Shakti is our master looter in most groups that we raid in, regardless of what tune she's on.
Yeah.
It's a default. We don't even ask her anymore. We just make her the, she's the loot master.
But raid finder loot, I mean, now, and the patch has been out 2 weeks now at the time of this podcast.
How many raid
What's that?
How many raid finders have you run?
I've run a few.
Yeah.
But still getting people running.
I have a comment.
People are still running Raid Finder 2 weeks after the patch saying, is there no loot on the boss?
Yeah.
I only got 25 gold.
Yeah, yeah. So even accounting for some people's ridiculously unaware mindset, before the patch, people QQ'd about the drops that would drop that they couldn't use or they couldn't win.
Yeah.
And now they QQ about guaranteed 25 gold.
Yeah.
So...
Which is more than we
did
previously.
No, it's actually less money than we used to make.
Yeah, are you sure?
Yeah, I am positive.
All right,
extensive gold runs.
I never ran in there yet. I did
run. We used to get about 35 and 40 gold from each boss when the boss died. And
doesn't matter. It's worth the sacrifice.
That's gone. But you know what? It's a guaranteed 25 gold, which means you're guaranteed 100 gold for the run, plus whatever gold you pick up from the trash, and you have the same numerical chance of winning gear,
yep.
But any gear you win is usable gear. You are not going to have to watch the same sword that you can't use drop 8 times 8 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
It's funny, though, because I have also seen people who have won gear say, does anybody want this?
Yeah, and then they realize they can't trade it.
You can't trade it. A, you're cross-realm. B, you want it. It's soulbound to you. There's no changing it. It can't happen.
Yeah, so it's not going to happen. So anybody out there that was still thinking about that, we'll say this very clearly and in small words so you can follow. You cannot pass.
Yeah.
I did there.
Yeah, you're very funny. You're such a funny boy. Anyway, I love it. And no more hanging about waiting for those people on the last box.
Oh, my God, yes.
And didn't roll.
A raid that should only take 25 minutes only takes 25 minutes. It's fantastic. I love that.
No more waiting around. It's awesome.
I queued up and waited longer to get into the raid than it took to do the raid.
Yeah.
And was quite content. And I have only won, I've won a grand total of 3 items on 6 tunes in 2 weeks of running. Mm-hmm. I've won 2 items, both this week, both on the same tune, both in the same run.
Yeah, my numbers are about the same for wins.
One of the items was a duplicate that I already had, and the other one was the cloth shoulders on my... I won the Will of Unbinding and the non-tier piece shoulders.
Mm.
And the cloth shoulders, yeah. Well, what's it called?
The moss rot shoulders?
Yes, yes. And they break my 4-piece set.
So they're going to stay in those bags.
So, yeah. Well, they're still, item-wise, they're still an upgrade. And now that with the changes to the spell changes, I'm actually trying them. I've broken my 4-piece set because the 4-piece set bonus has been slightly deprecated in my mind.
You know, I could probably tailor you some pants that will keep you, or...
Pants?
Tailor you some pants. Never mind.
You want to try that again? You
know? I'm going backwards. Never mind. Scratch that from the record. That was bad.
All right. Yeah. With the listeners, you won't hear that.
I was just thinking,
yeah. Edit out of there.
To your shoulders and the tailored pants, and you'll be good to go. Anyway, never mind.
I didn't say that. So, anyways, it does work.
Yeah.
I will attest to that. It does work. And there's no worrying about it. One of the concerns that I had that I accidentally discovered was not a concern, but could have been, was that the bags are not unique. So you're not obligated to open your 25 gold bag during the raid.
No.
At the end of the run, after you've successfully killed all 4 bosses, you will have 4 bags in your backpack.
Mm-hmm.
So I was concerned about that because there have been other situations where you would win a token item, a bag of loot from a boss, and they were unique. And if you didn't open the first one, you didn't receive the second one.
Yeah. And there's a chance now in those bags to get a second piece of loot, correct?
That's
am I understanding
the theory,
that?
And I think that there's also coming in Myst, one of the things I know we talked about when we were talking about the upcoming changes, but one of the things that you're going to be able to do, now I don't know if it's going to be at 85 or sooner, or if it's only going to be reserved for max level in Myst. However, you're going to be able to spend a type of currency in the game to get a second roll on a boss.
Mm.
So you will get the option to get a second piece of loot on a boss.
Get a second chance at another piece.
You'll get another roll. You get a free roll off the same loot table. Mm-hmm. Now, you won't, if you win the second roll, you won't necessarily still get the one piece of gear you're waiting for. But you can save up your rolls and use them every time you get to that boss. Now, you can't use those. I can't think of what they're called, but you think of them similar to the cooking daily tokens or something to that effect. They are accumulated through rep, and I don't know if they are rewarded for doing dailies as rep grind dailies or whatever, and they are used to purchase other things. One of the things that you can purchase is a second roll token, for lack of a better term. I know that Blizz has explained this fairly clearly. I read up on it. I think it's a great idea because now you have some players who have far too much time on their hands, and now that, here's another thing that I was surprised by that wasn't in the beta, no limit to the number of dailies you can do.
That was in the beta.
Was that in the beta?
Yep. That was.
I don't do enough dailies.
I don't do enough dailies either. I'm like,
But I will be honest. Even though I never really took advantage of the fact that I was capped at 25, because I don't think I ever once, maybe once in my entire.
You know when I took advantage of it was in BC on the Isle of Caldenas.
Oh yeah, I maxed it.
I would
the rep
cap those. Every day those
and I hated
capped
that place. Me I loved too. It and I hated it. Yeah. I loved it because I really thought it was a great zone.
Yeah,
I should go back there just to go back.
The PvP made me hate it, but it was
PvP.
It was a really
hate
great zone.
So.
Yeah, but
and speaking of PvP,
we're still not. Wait, we haven't talked about the master loot changes yet. Let's go back.
Oh, okay, go talk.
Master loot changes. There's a couple new options in there. First of all, you can still do master loot exactly the way that you've always done master loot.
Oh,
the window. Yes, I know you were concerned. The window is a little bit prettier now. You can actually see people in groups rather than trying to scroll down and figure out who's in what group. You can actually see the whole list of names separated out by color. It's very pretty. You can also request a role for the piece of gear, and what that does is it opens up the need, greed, pass, disenchant window that you see the loot window for every other dungeon.
/loot.
Whatever it is. Anyway, and people, your entire raid group will have the option to roll as they want to roll. And what happens is it opens up a little window for you, and it shows whether what people have chosen, whether it's need, greed, disenchant, pass, etc. And then once everybody has selected, it shows you all their roles and who's won. You still have to assign it to that person, but it's pretty cool how they've done it. So, for example, if it is a BOE item and it's just an open role for your raid, then that's one way of doing it. The downside is you still need to be at the boss with the loot window open in order to assign it that way. You can't just click on the little window away after you've walked away and assign it. You still need to be at the loot window for the boss. And if anybody has chosen disenchant, you can't give it directly to them. You have to get it disenchanted first and then pass it along. There's no option for
that. So while it does give you extra visual simplicity, the overall end state is basically the same. It's prettier, a little cleaner, a little more streamlined, but fundamentally hasn't changed.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to see all the roles right there in front instead of in the chat window.
Having that separate window is quite handy because now I can roll back and see a specific piece and what I rolled and what somebody else rolled in descending order of roll number.
And as the master looter, you're the only one who can see all of the rolls done that way if you request a roll that way. Otherwise, as a player, all you're going to see is your roll and the winning roll.
Unless you type /loot and then you'll see the loot table, which shows you everybody's roll.
Oh, is that what you mean?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. You go to your type /loot, and it opens up that same window.
I thought
window.
You meant that, okay, yeah, I thought you meant that rolling window. You know. Where
the choice window. Oh, yeah, no. It opens up the roll table.
Oh, there
you
go. You
can't do anything with it. Yeah. It's just another window that you can have open, but it shows each item with mouse over interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And you click beside the item, and it'll show you the list of everybody who rolled and what choices they made, whether they passed greed, need, or disenchant. So
it's pretty cool.
Yep, and that's I like that. You know, do you think possibly we may see implementation of additional features later on with a future patch, or is this as good as it's going
to
get?
I'd like to see new features because there's not a lot of room for growth on that, but it would be nice to have the loot tables, and then, I mean, if someone chooses disenchant, it would be nice to just send it off to them, and if they chose disenchant, give them the shard. You know what I mean? Instead of sending it off to the enchanter and then trading it through the window that way. It just seems like that's a bit of extra work. You know what I mean?
I do.
If I have the loot window open and I have the ability while I'm looting the boss to click on the loot window and assign the loot that way, why wouldn't I be able to do that when I'm not standing at the boss?
I think that's the part that's a little surprised, that you can't do that on the move.
Yeah.
That you have to stay there where the loot is until it's assigned.
Yeah.
But in the rare, rare circumstance where I have to be a master looter,
it doesn't affect you. It affects me. I'm always the last person to the next group of trash or whatever.
I
am as well, but I don't find, I never found it all that challenging. I never found it all that difficult. The interface, I don't want to say that it was intuitive, because I don't think that that would be an accurate description. But it did make a kind of sense. And although I wouldn't have done it myself that way, I can see why they did it that way. I have not yet been Master Looter with the new changes, and so I don't
know. Interesting.
I don't know that it's that different, but I'm going to try and probably play around with it over the next couple of weeks with some older raids just to see it, because I'm grinding for did somebody say Thunder Fury? And because I don't really have that much else to do with my life. So sad.
So that's loot systems. You wanted to talk about PvP?
No, PvP no. Made me think of why I hate leveling toons, because I hate leveling.
Do you think this patch made it easier to level?
You know what? I was leveling some toons on a non-PvP server, and I was leveling them. One of the main reasons I was leveling those toons is to have something to do in the downtime waiting for a raid, but also I was actually trying to get some sort of a baseline so that when Mist drops and I load up these new toons with all the 34,000 justice points that I spent on BOA gear, I want to get through this as quickly as possible. So I've already bought the gear, so it's going to get worn regardless. But I just wanted to get an idea, you know, if I do this zone and I do these basic start zone quests, or I'm in, you know, the whatever level zone I'm in, and I'm doing these quests, what kind of XP am I earning based on a toon that is, first of all, not in a max level guild, is not super well geared with the crafted stuff at the level appropriate stuff. Just an average toon on an average server. How long is it going to take me to get these quests done, and what kind of experience points and leveling time frames am I looking at? And I have to say that it doesn't really feel a whole lot faster than it did even in, you know, Burning Crusade. It didn't feel like I was slogging through the levels. I felt that it was relatively painless, but it's not something, I'm not going to go from level 1 to 60 in a weekend. That's I'm not saying it can't be done, people, because I'm sure there are people out there who have done that, you know, 1 to 60 in no time, but
it is a lot easier to level your guild now, which gives you the perks to make it easier to level.
That is the thing that I am noticing, that if you're in a guild, regardless of what guild level you are, go and get yourself even a basic guild tabard and run yourself around, and you will ding your own guild. You will ding low-level guilds more quickly by yourself. A higher-level guild...
But that's where the leveling perks are. So.
But that's where you get some of those leveling perks now, is at the lower end. And some of the easy ones... I'll tell you, the best one that I have on the guild is level 5, where you get the bonus, the gold added to... And I'll be honest now, it's only adding about 50 or 60 gold a week right now in this guild, because it's a non-active guild. There's only like 3 active players, 5-6 active toons altogether, but 50 free gold for doing what you were already doing.
Yep.
And if you're in a smaller guild, let's say with Mist, you get 4 or 5 friends together and you decide to go together in Mist and do this together, if you're all in the same guild, you'll hit level 5 within
super
a week or
fast.
So.
Yeah.
And not only that, at level 5, you're going to start getting that gold accumulating, and 50,
and
60, 80, 100 gold.
And your rep with your guild is
going
to go up fast.
Yeah, which goes hand in hand with the guild levels. Yeah. Your guild rep really isn't important until you get to level 10, 20, and 25.
Yeah, but it's nice to get now.
It's nice to have it, and it's easy to get it back now. It was such a big
issue. And for a guild, that
quit.
Would be the one reputation that you should be able to grind the fastest. This is your guild. You know,
you would think that you would get more, prior to 504, you would think that you got more credit for doing anything that you did with a guild tabard on, but nay, that wasn't the way it was. Now, it seems that Blizzard had V8 moment and said, yep, we should credit people for wearing the guild tabard and doing quests and, you know, whatever, and doing things
in
a group, logging in. Yeah, we should get a couple of XP, guild XP just for logging in.
So, what are your final thoughts on this patch? Like it?
Overall,
love it?
I don't love it.
No?
I don't love it, no. I like it. I do like it.
Change is bad, right?
I see long-term friendship. but this doesn't mean we're going to be holding hands and walking, taking long walks on the beach.
I'm loving it.
I would say so far, but I haven't played my main at all since mm-hmm. this patch came down.
Well, I haven't tried Frost yet either, because your main is a Frost mage.
It's Frost, so. And I've heard nothing but people raving about how great Frost is. And I have had no opportunities to take out the Frost mage and go and kill stuff.
Well, you're going to have to do that.
I want to, but my gaming options are limited to basically tanking or healing. If I want to get out there and run the dungeons or run the raids, I got to tank it or I got to heal it. And so I've not had the option to run. I also have a rogue that is only 4 clears away from his legendary daggers. Was hoping to try and get those before Mist.
Yeah.
Looks like I'm going to have to wait until after Mist.
Yeah. Not too long after, though.
No, I don't think that I'll have to wait that long. But nevertheless, I'll have to wait until after Mist drops. But nevertheless, I'll have them, and that's good. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had the opportunity to play my mage. And I am going to be leveling my mage first mm-hmm. when Mist drops. So everybody else is going to get halted.
Yeah.
So the love-hate thing, am I going to love it playing my mage from the other mages that I know? Shakti.
Love it.
Yeah, and it's great for being a mage. And, you know, are we going to see any major or minor ninja nerfs here when 504 drops? I'm sure we will. So... you know, I want to like it. I want to, but yeah. I'm still finding that I'm disappointed in the overall mushing of all the classes. They're all more the same now than I think at any point in the game. They all feel the same. And I have one of every class max leveled. Except the monk, which isn't out there yet. One of every class, max level raid geared, and have raided with them. Played in every spec and every role that they can play in. Didn't enjoy all of them, but I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that more than ever now, there's really, even just visual eye candy stuff is gone. It's not even there. I mean, you're a resto druid, and you don't even have tree form if you don't want it.
Yeah.
So why would you not want it? You only get it for 30 seconds, and then you got a 3-minute cooldown.
You can glyph to be permanent now.
You can glyph that when you change, you're changed to a tree ant instead of the other thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought it was glyph to be permanent.
No, it glyphs it to change it to the other thing. I have not in any point seen anyone. I have only seen one tree in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because it's a cooldown now, and... It's, I mean, I've done the raid heals. It's one, the fewer cooldowns I got to worry about, mm-hmm. the easier my life is.
Mm-hmm.
And the more likely everybody is to live. So, yeah, overall, I'm only going to give it about a 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Bearing in mind, though, that I've only played 4 of my tunes and I haven't tried anybody else. The likelihood of me trying anybody else in the future is...
reducing the closer we get to the launch day.
Exactly, because I'm just going to be grinding up for launch day. But, you know, and I'm totally in love with my mage. Like, I was in love
with so much so that you have 2 of them.
I now have 2 of them. Honest to God, the patch dropped. I leveled my last 5 levels on my Alliance mage in 4 days.
Yes. Yes.
It, you know, I just love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
My Alliance mage is still level 12.
I've even raided with my Alliance mage.
What?
Raid Finder. I know. I may open raid with that one and see how I do.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
We're seeing more and more people, just as a little quick side note, more and more people are talking about and doing open raid.
Yep.
I'd like to take some credit for that.
No, you. Like it was you.
If we hadn't been here to do these PSAs and tell people that they're out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's right.
They wouldn't have
it's
heard
all us. Okay, let's move on because this is getting long. Your head is getting a little swollen from your
well, ear. I did notice that my headphones were getting a little tight, but yeah. I just thought it was because we've been sitting here for so long. All right.
Maybe. Moving on.
So let's topic 2 is going to be really quick. I'm just going to breeze through it because it's Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13. I tried to get Shakti to play it, but...
I watched.
She watched it, which meant she sat in the room while I played it. I can't vouch that she actually watched it.
I watched.
Even when I said, look, 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 and then she didn't look. So,
I was knitting.
She was crafting. So, you know what?
I was
She's watching the crafting and counting threads. She's not watching me practice my swing. Anyways, okay. So, first of all, this is a game that it has been out on the market now for more than 6 months. However, we only just recently came into a PlayStation, so we're still trying to get caught up on some of the backlog. So forgive me for being a little bit behind the times. But anyways, this game features a new swing dynamic that, according to the Sony and the people that made the game, EA Games, according to them, it better simulates the real swing of a player, and it places the quote-unquote fault of a bad shot back on the lap of the player rather than on your ability to hit the button fast. I'll get to that a little bit later. Let's go through some of the basic stuff here. The graphics are, as expected, they're pretty good. There's a couple of notable things about that. There are some glitches with the display. Flags, and we're talking about the flags at the on the golf greens. The flag will disappear before the ball stops moving, and you'll lose track of where the hole is, reference to your shot. Also, when you're trying to line up your shot from the fairway onto the green, so you can't always see the flag, so that's a bit of an issue. There is some clipping and occlusion of the terrain during the remote camera sequences, which is after you hit the ball and the ball starts to travel down the fairway, as the camera follows your shot, you'll see clipping and you'll see occlusion, which is like blockage. And that's problematic. And for a game of this type, of this genre, that's really not that's not cool at all. And the ball is really hard to see. I had a real hard time, and I have a 50-inch TV to play this game on, and I literally felt like I had to stand up and get closer to see where the ball was going and to follow the ball. Now, it does have a feature in the game where you could turn on the ball streak, or I forget what it's called now. Basically, it has a little trailing edge on the back of the ball, and that really did help significantly for me. The sound, sound was a bit disappointing, actually. I just felt that with a name like Tiger Woods and PGA, that it would have more, but the same kind of nice shot. You really got
it. It's an improvement on those older golf games. Nice shot, Jim.
But there's
landed in the sand, Jim.
Yeah. Oh, that's in the bunker. But while it's nice that they have real commentators from the real PGA Tour commentating, quote unquote, on your game, they say the same thing on every hole. They say the same. I mean, every third hole, I'm getting the same. Well, on this hole, he really needs to watch his shot. And oh, with a tee off like that, he's going to own this cup. And it's the same thing. They couldn't splurge and do like say 40 statements instead of 20. Like I just come on. It just. I don't want to hear the commentary anymore. It doesn't add anything to the game. It doesn't add anything to the play. It's not constructive at all. Repeating that for hours on end is just annoying. And it just reinforces the fact that you're not actually in a tournament. You're not actually playing the game. So any illusion that they were going for is destroyed by the fact that on your fifth swing, the guy says exactly the same thing as he did on your second swing.
It's your Groundhog golf game.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Groundhog Day. Bad. Bad. Now, other people have enjoyed the menu music. I've heard lots of people comment on how cool it is and that you should be able to hear the menu music throughout the whole game. I'm not one of them. I turned off the menu music. I found it the worst kind of irritating elevator trash, and I turned it right off. So for me, I turned off the comments. I turned off the crowd. I turned off the music. I left ambient sounds on, so I still have the birds chirping in the background. If you're playing near a water hole or a water trap, you're going to hear water trickling around. And if you happen to be under a tree, cough, cough, you will hear wind whistling in the trees. That I really kind of enjoyed that. And it allowed me to sort of escape, if you will, because why am I playing golf on a friggin' console? Because I can't afford to go out to an actual golf course somewhere. And
or it's raining.
I can't afford to go out. I go out in the rain. I don't care. So there's that part. There is the selection of courses is not horrible. And there is an option in the game to purchase access to additional
courses. And I have mixed feelings about that. On the one hand, I just forked out $50 for a game that only has like 22 of the 36 courses available. And all the remaining courses, yes, they are available immediately if I want to fork out the money. They're locked until I complete ridiculously difficult in-game challenges. And it's you read through the challenges, and if you want to unlock a course, you have to unlock the course permanently. You have to complete those challenges on that course. Some of the challenges are challenging, but not impossible. Get 10 birdies, get...
Okay, so say you want to unlock...
TPC Sawgrass. It's already okay. On the game, but just to give it a title.
Say you want to unlock it. You either have to pay for it to unlock it, or you do a challenge on TPC
you
Sawgrass.
You do multiple difficult challenges to unlock it. They're called
on
silver,
that course?
On that course. And then that
which
course
you have to pay for
free,
to unlock.
Which you can pay in-game. In the game, you earn a form of in-game currency called coins. And if you play, you'll earn coins. And as your game improves, you will earn more coins. For between I only looked at about five courses to unlock for a single round was between 15,000 and 18,000 coins. Now that's not bad if you're earning 1,000 coins an hour, right? But you're not, particularly if you're not a hardcore console golfer. You're not going to see those in the first probably 3 or 4 months that you have this game. Now, if you're playing, say, 10 hours a week every week, you could probably earn enough coinage to play a round of golf on one of those locked courses every month or so, maybe every 6 weeks.
And hope that you've completed the challenge when you do it.
And then on the course, while you're on the course, on many of those courses, you have the chance, while you're competing, to unlock the challenges. Now, as of this moment, I have been unable to determine whether it's consecutive attempts or if, for example, you need to get 10 birdies on that course, you need to get 10 in one game.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it I play it 10 times and I can get 10 birdies in 10 consecutive games and I still get credit for the challenge? Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to confirm that. So I don't know. It seems like it will be cumulative because there are some really challenging ones in here. Five eagles. Anybody who's not a golfer is probably confused right now. When you play golf, you're trying to score. You get the little white ball into the little round cup at the end of the field in as few shots as possible. Every course, every from tee to cup fairway is rated in a number of strokes that it should take, a stroke being the number of times you hit the ball. If the number of strokes for that hole is 4, then it would be called a par 4 course. If you do it in 4, then you have made par and your score stays even at 0. If you get it in 3 shots, then that's called a birdie and you would get a score of -1. It's one of the few games where a negative score is a good thing. If you go in 5 shots, again with our 4-shot example, you would have scored a bogey and would have a score of +1. So at the end of the game, you want to get par or better on every hole because that's how you stay ahead of the rest of the pack. So this game, better than a lot of other games, rewards consistent play. So if you're not always trying to get that eagle and then you tank it and wind up getting a double bogey.
And an eagle is 2 under par, correct?
It's 2 under par, that's correct. A double bogey would be 2 over par. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's anything for more than... usually if it's more than...
It's called mulligan and you do it again.
This game doesn't offer mulligan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've never golfed with me, I guess.
Yeah. You have a practice mode.
Okay.
Practice all you want. And even on the practice mode, you can reset and start the hole again, but you can't mulligan.
All right.
So the learning curve on this game was fairly steep. And there's very little in the way of interactive instruction. You sort of have to wing it. If you have played golf games before, it will not be as hard for you to pick up the basics of this game as it would be if you had never played a console golf game. However, because of the different swing mechanics that they use in this game,
you're probably going to have a real hard time with this game in the first hour or so that you play it. You have to do some digging. There is usually, or I shouldn't say usually, with the disc, on the disc, you can browse the disc, and there is a user manual in there. Now, I read through some of the basic stuff and through some of the forum stuff and some of the online stuff, and I really didn't have that big a challenge. To me, it seemed relatively intuitive. However, after having conversations with many people, I am discovering that I am the anomaly rather than the standard. So the you have a question?
No, I was just going to say something insulting reference to your anomaly.
I'm so used to it.
I was just going to say you're more like the weirdo.
Yeah, that's what I said. I just said it smartly.
Yes.
Bazinga.
Weirdo.
Yeah.
We need to get you a helmet.
I need to get out more.
Yeah.
Console down, step away from the TV.
Yeah.
The learning curve is based on your ability to manipulate both where you want the shot to go and then how well you move the joystick up and down on the left analog joystick. And if you have a smooth up and down motion on that joystick, you're going to have a good shot. And if not, then the shot's going to go left or right.
I'm giggling too.
After I said it, I went, yeah, probably could have found a better way to say it. It's too late now.
Up and down motion on the joystick.
Up and down on the joystick. All right. Giggity, giggity. Anyway, so the downside was unlocking these courses is like that's really a challenge to unlock some of them. The tournament play, well, you play single player tournament career mode, gives you the option to skip courses that you don't own on your pursuit of the PGA Tour. And while on first blush that seems like a great idea, oh good, I don't have to worry about it. You're skipping out, and the other players in the tournament, they get to play the course. The other AI players are playing that other course. So you really have to bring your game up a notch once you go past, and that's like the third course you have to skip in the tournament. So I got to tell you, that was a real big knock in the teeth as far as I was concerned. However, on the other hand, the courses that were included were varied enough and challenging enough that, theoretically, a player could purchase the game and spend many long, enjoyable hours just playing the game, and you'll accumulate coins, which you're not trying to accumulate, and you may even accidentally unlock some courses. You will unlock additional equipment. You will unlock some vanity gear. There are in-game challenges where you can go and hit the ball within 25 feet, three shots that have to add up to less than 25 yards from the cup. And, and these are all
called hours customizing your character.
You can. I did.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think I did a pretty good job. This avatar.
We had Himotep right there on the television.
On the big screen. You could looking like a real, actual golfer. It was a little freaky.
Yeah, it's kind of scary how similar you made him look.
Yeah.
It took forever to do it, and I was amazed at the amount of detail that you can control in creating this character. It was like, wow, why didn't I just buy Sims?
Because you can't golf in Sims.
Bet you can.
No, they have just sent Sim out to golf, and then the Sim golfs, and you watch.
It's no different than how I played this game.
Touché.
Yeah.
Or I suppose for some that's touchy.
Yeah, whatever.
No? Crickets?
Melee. Touche. Shaman? Okay. Shaman.
Shaman.
Anyway.
It's a shaman. Shaman with his totems.
There's a lot of detail in creating your characters. We're going back to this.
We're rolling here. All right. The game is really, it takes advantage of the PlayStation Move system, which is that little wand controller.
Knocking your stick in your friend's face?
Don't hit your stick into your friend's face. Don't hit your face on your stick. And
on your friend's stick.
Whatever you do, don't stick a fork into an outlet. It's a bad plan.
Make sure.
I mean, like, listen, your friends should not be standing anywhere near you while you're playing.
Neither should your lamps.
You know, let's see that commercial for the hockey version with Gretzky and the big house and the butler falling around picking up broken stuff. That was pretty cool. All right, I'm not Gretzky.
Nor do you play him on TV.
Nor do I play him on TV. So it's PlayStation Move. I can only conclude that it's available on the Xbox Kinect and their little magic wand that they have as well. And that makes the game a lot more interesting. It's a lot more interactive, a lot more like you can live the illusion of actually getting out there to golf. You can actually think about your stance and your little golf. And there's actually I don't know what they call it, a controller that is shaped like a golf club, which I thought was really kind of cool. It's only like it's perfectly sized if you're like 3'5". But if you're any taller than that, it's going to be too small. But nevertheless, it's a lot of fun to see this thing. And it's fun. Ultimately, I think if you're not having fun when you're playing these games, then you need to shut it off and go outside. Which there was a comment made that the game might work equally well as a somewhat limited training tool, given the correct equipment, time, and if you approach it with the right mindset.
So taller than a 3'5" golf club.
Taller than if you're more than 3'5" tall, then you need a custom made plastic golf club that looks like a hockey stick kind of thing.
Tape your Kinect thing onto the end of your golf
club. I had that actual thought. I was like, well, if you took a real golf and you took
duct tape, basically. Really,
Duct tape and WD-40. Everything can be fixed with duct tape and WD-40. There's actually a flow chart. I digress. Right. Anyways, if you want to play a game that captures the simulate golf experience, you're not going to go wrong by getting this game. If you're looking for a game that has full-on courses with no challenge and everything else, then this is really not the game for you. I would recommend this game for anybody who was a console golfer. I would recommend it to them. First of all, because once you do master how the swing dynamic works and how it's different from other games, you will prefer it. I feel confident enough in saying that. But the need to fork out more money, the behind the scenes, the shadowy ninja money grab that EA Games and Sony have going with this, I really don't approve of that. The menu music, ugh, and the clipping and occlusion and the disappearing flags and all that was a bit much. And you know, after a long day of golf, your eyesight tends to, you know, and I'm not a young player anymore, so I these are things that I maybe if I were like 15, I might not have even noticed. It's possible. It could happen. But I did notice, and so therefore I'm mentioning it. But overall,
That kind of stuff, graphics shouldn't be happening, period.
No, I don't. I really don't think, especially, this is number 13. This isn't number 3. This
yeah, exactly. They've had plenty of time to fix 13. This.
And, like, why would those things, like, why would the flagpole disappear from the cup during aiming and shooting? It doesn't make any sense. And putting, I had a problem with the display on putting. I had a real hard time getting a feel for where the lay of the land was. Where was it breaking? Where was it sloping? I couldn't tell from, and I know it has a lot of this little visual stuff going on in there, but it took me a real hard hour of trying to really figure it all out. And then at the end of the day, I just started doing it intuitively anyways. And nah, I wasn't doing too badly that way. So. But I'm hung up on the disappointing sound, the disappointing glitches that are there, the money grab. It's like,
that's a big one for you.
And I keep coming back to that one because that really just, you know what, if you want to do a game that has 30 courses in the game that you've just purchased, and then you want to offer other people another 10 courses that they could purchase, that's perfect. That's exactly what you want. But don't offer a game that has 36 courses, but only 22 of them are available. You have to unlock the other 14, or you have to spend money. And when they say you can unlock it, oh, yeah, you can. You can unlock probably one a year
at the current play style that I'm at. Mm-hmm. If I had no other games to play and I had no other life other than Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13, day 11, day 255. If that's all I had, then yeah, it would be a lot more achievable, I guess. But if you're getting to the point where you're getting eagles and birdies on every shot, on every hole, in every course that you have, my suggestion is go outside. You've spent too much time playing the game.
Yeah, you probably could have bought a real round of golf by then.
Real round of golf is cheaper than this game.
Yeah.
But you can't come back.
But it's only one round.
And nobody's ever been struck by a lightning bolt playing a PlayStation 3.
It could happen.
I'm just saying. Yeah, if you play it outside.
Yeah, well,
you
know.
When I say go outside,
I
don't.
I'm not saying that, yeah.
When I say go outside, I'm not saying take the PlayStation with you. I'm saying turn it off and go outside.
Now, you didn't qualify that.
No, I didn't. My bad.
Yeah, so now we have liability, and anybody's going to take their game. People are going to be taking their consoles outside and getting struck by lightning, and now we're going to be sued.
I'm not responsible for any of the bad stuff.
Yeah. Well, as soon as you get a lawsuit from the first guy.
Toilet paper? That was mine.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we close out this episode, because it's another long one.
All right. Well, whenever we miss a week, we come back and we do a big long one.
But summer's over now, so the long weekends are starting to cut down. We should be around.
We should be more regular.
We'll eat more fiber and be more regular for you.
Try and be more. Oh, you went there.
I totally did.
Totally did.
I totally did. See, I slipped it in so nicely.
Saw it, and you said, I shouldn't, but then you did, and you did. And
there was no hesitation.
There we go. This is why it drags on. This right here. This is why.
Because you can't let it go and just let me have my moment?
You let it go. Let it go. It's a good thing I'm in a different room or you'd be letting it go all over me.
All right. So we're going to close out episode 14.
14.
14. I feel like a Sesame Street show. 14. 14. 14. This concludes episode 14 of Rolling for Loot. The letter of the day is
H.
And the number of the day is
14.
14. If you have any comments or questions, contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Put your name on your comments. Go anonymous. We don't care.
Nope.
Send us love letters. Send us hate mail. We don't care. You can find us on our blog at rollingforloot.blogspot.com. You can find us on Facebook as Rolling for Loot. And, of course, on Twitter as @RollingForLoot.
Thanks for listening. I'm Himotep.
And I'm Shakti.
See you next time.